This is Holidays and Holy Days. We all know that there are holidays. We accept that from across the spectrum of the world. We know that there are holidays in America because bed sheets and towels and small appliances go on sale, and sports leagues match up traditional rivalries in order to attract us to watch them and their commercials. The commercialization of our holidays is something usually decried by clergy across the religious and political spectrum. But are there holy days? Are there days that are somehow sanctified, that are somehow different from our regular, ordinary, literally mundane days of our lives? Or to even accept the idea of a holy day, is that an unacceptable dualism, a separating of the sacred and the profane that we just can't go for? Is there something magical and theological in talking about there being a special kind of holy day? I think, for me, there are times that are sacred. There are times that are special. We live in a very interesting society where we have the rhetorical question, is nothing sacred? And we know what that means, but we don't sometimes ask the other half of that, which is anything sacred? Is there some way of affirming the sanctity, the specialness, the blessedness, the holiness of some kinds of experiences without getting into unacceptable theologies and magic and superstition? Can a rational person believe that there is something sacred? I believe that we can, and I believe that, being rational at least part of the time, that I do see and seek the sacred in everyday and ordinary life, and that there is something to be gained for having a sense of the sacred, having a sense that there are special times that we make, that we calendar, that we set aside, where we do special kinds of work, examine ourselves, examine our lives, examine our paths, and try to find our best and our truest selves. For me, this process, and whether one does it during the Jewish days of awe, the 10 days of reflection, the Shia Islam 10 days of reflection called Ashura, were the 40 days that apparently Christians need for Lent. I'm sorry, that was a zets. That any time that we set aside to do a full and frank and fearless inventory of ourselves is good, but it doesn't hurt to make appointments. It's kind of like if my wife and I talk about we ought to go to the theater more, we keep having that conversation. We actually buy the tickets, we go, and then walk out at halftime, but still, we go. And making a date, recognizing a date to do spiritual work, I think is important. Tonight is, as most of you know, the holiest night in Judaism. And what makes it holy? I know it's the wrong holiday to say, why is this night different from all other nights? But what makes it holy? It is made holy, it is sanctified, not by magic from on high, but for what we do, what we bring to the High Holy Days, or to Lent, or to Ashura, or to a Sabbath, or to a Sunday, or to any time that we set aside to go inside and really look at ourselves, to find either a quiet place that we sometimes sing about at the beginning of the service, or sometimes a noisy musical place, something that lets us do the work that sometimes we just don't get around to doing during the course of our regular day-to-day existence as we rush from place to place, as we answer our cell phones. That actually is just exactly what I was going to say, and it went off perfectly on time. In this case, thank you. As we are Wi-Fi and connected to every part of the universe except ourselves. And so sometimes taking a step backwards and finding a quiet place alone or together, finding some way to have a connection to the source of meaning in our lives is, for me, valuable. One of the questions that I often get being a Unitarian Universalist minister is, so John, tonight you're going to go to a Yom Kippur service and you're going to be a congregant. And the answer is yes. And they say, well, how does that work? That, well, I write the check and I go in and I sit down and I let it happen for me. I need a quiet place from time to time. I need company in going inside and searching myself and asking the important religious questions, spiritual questions, psychological questions, sociological questions. What am I doing with my life? Is this the best expression of my values, the way that I'm leading my life now? And if it isn't, how can I turn or return to a better path for me? Not a better path that somebody tells me to follow, not a path that's imposed on me either from scripture or from politician, but something that reflects examined values. And in order to have examined values, you have to sit down and conduct the examination. And every religion offers these opportunities. You can do it here. You can do it here, probably not here tonight, but in a large place that the temple will have rented. You can do it with the Dalai Lama. There are all different ways of finding the way inside, not just to live there on the inside, but to take that learning and find out how to express it. Now, Yom Kippur gets called the Day of Atonement. And atonement seems kind of self-flagellating and guilt-ridden. If you just want to feel guilty, you don't need to go anywhere. Feel guilty. It's not very useful. Guilt is not very useful. Responsibility and power are useful. If you want to just be forgiven your sins, okay, I forgive you. Not my job. In Judaism, it's not even God's job to forgive you your sins. One atones through action, not through someone else or something else forgiving you. You have to make amends for what you have not done or for what you have done that doesn't reflect your best sense of yourself. It isn't a priestly benediction. It isn't a ritual. The cleansing comes from the knowledge that we are trying to lead better lives, more perfected lives, lives that better reflect who we are and who we want to be in this world. The great challenge in America and probably in the world is how can we take all of our various differing paths seriously? Is it okay to really let 1,000 flowers bloom? A little Maoist reference. Is it really okay to look at other religions and say, they have something to teach. They can be fonts of inspiration. There's something important that we can learn from each other. Does my idea that what is good for me and gives me spiritual comfort or a spiritual discipline, does that negate somebody else's practice, somebody else's belief, somebody else's theology? We end up so often in this world fighting about the poetry and fighting about the metaphors instead of engaging on the issues of substance, which is not which symbol excites me or what symbol repels me, but what symbol reminds me to do good. As you walk in, this being a temple, most days of the week, you see tallits, prayer shawls. They have fringes on them, and they have four longer fringes, one in each corner. And the purpose of those long fringes in the corner is to remind people of charity, of tzedakah, of righteousness, of our responsibility to each other. Wearing a tallit does not make somebody religious, doesn't make somebody holy. Knowing that the fringes are reminders of how to be uses it as a reminder. Ritual, whether it's our ritual or Jewish or Catholic or Protestant or Muslim, ritual is not a replacement for righteousness. And people fight all of the time about ritual. Ritual is a reminder of how to be better in the world. You wear a tallit and you don't feed the hungry, you're wearing a rag. There's a religious fundamentalist with whom I agree about absolutely nothing except the metaphor. It's a wonderful metaphor. It shows that you can learn from people that you have nothing in common with. And he says derisively, going to church don't make you a Christian any more than living in the garage will make you a car. It's a great line. It's a great line. You have to actually go out and do something with it. When we get stuck in all of the serious literalness of our various religious texts, we miss the point. We fail to actually figure out what that religion is about, how we are with each other. There are going to be very few people when the shofar is sounded, actually tonight by somebody who is probably less medically qualified than I to do it, but he's very stubborn. Not that I'm not. And there's nobody in that room that thinks that that shofar was the first sound that created the world or will be the last sound. It is a reminder and it's a symbol. No one is taking it literally. When we take scripture literally, when we take ritual literally, we end up with bad theology and even worse science than history. These are poems, they're prayers, they're metaphors, they're stories about that are supposed to inform us about how to be in the world and how not to be in the world. They are not meant to be thought about in terms of their literalness. They're meant to inspire thought that leads eventually to action. For me, the spiritual journey reconciles that question of the sacred and the profane, because I don't accept the duality. I don't accept the dualism. I believe that there are sacred moments, and we sanctify them with our attention. We sanctify them by noticing that they are special. When I think of my religious experiences, I think of standing and seeing my wife's eyes before our kiss that consummated, that's the wrong word, the kiss that was the penultimate moment, no, it was the ultimate moment at the end of the wedding ceremony. Break the glass and kiss. The look in her eyes was a religious experience. It was connection. That's what religion does. Standing at the birth of my son was a religious experience. It was a connection, past, future, through present. When I'm out sometimes sailing and I feel the forces of the wind and the waves and the infinity of existence, and I have my small tiller and small sail against these remarkable forces of nature, there is a sense of connection. What our religions do at their best is connect us, past, present, and future. What they do is connect us to a story and to a source of meaning and a source of life. What they do is connect us and commit us to making a better world for our children and our children's children. It isn't about just getting. It is about getting in order to give. It is about being connected one to another in time and in space. And for me, that connection is not simply intellectual, though intellect has a great part. It is visceral, it's in the guts, and it is spiritual. And they all come together in those experiences. Now, I have had religious experiences, and they are essentially ineffable. I can only remind you of experiences that you've had. I can't give you mine. I have met people who I believe are gurus, whether the Dalai Lama, whether a Jewish tzaddik, I'm sorry, a Muslim tzaddik or a Jewish tzaddik. Think there's a relationship between those two words? Or a Christian saint. There are people who are connected not simply for isolated moments in their lives, but who are able to maintain that sense of connection to self, to life, to others, to the wonder of existence over longer periods of time. For me, the religious journey is trying to find, to create, to recreate those moments when I am not separate from you and you and you, and I am not separate from me. It is a process of integration that creates a charge and a battery that gives us the inspiration to engage the world. Religion, at its best, in my view, is not about belief. It is about practice. It is about what we do. And our religions are based, and I use a scriptural phrase, we will be known by our fruits, by what we grow, by what we tend, by what we till, by whom we feed. That is our religious practice. And whatever we find that lets us find our center, evaluate ourselves and our lives, and then connect to a life greater than simply self, that to me is a true religion. May be different from mine. It may lead to different kinds of actions and different theological beliefs and different political philosophies. But whatever the practice is that informs us with love, with humility, with charity, and with mercy, as the great teachings of our three major monotheistic faiths exhort us to do, that to me is a true religion. A religion based on fear, on a theology of the Stockholm Syndrome, that I worship God because God is mighty and will kill me if I don't make the right offering, that to me is a hostage situation. That's not the faith of the free. The faith of the free is inside, outside, and then the energy to be. And an appreciation every day of the possibility and the miracle that today we are.